Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life Live is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. We are live today in, well, we're over there in Lake Forest, and I'm here in Indiana, and you can hear the echo in between the two. Now it's off. Joining me today, Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hey, Jill, how are you?
Hey, Steve. I'm doing good.
And, of course, Chris Williams is in today with us. Hey, Chris.
Yeah, it's good to be with you guys.
And we're all going to be together at a Life Recovery Conference. I want to tell you about this. It is, let's see when this starts. It's on the West Coast. It's at Mariners Church on October the 6th, and it is not too early to sign up. There's a special early bird rate. I'm going to be speaking. Dave Stoop is going to speak. Becky Brown, Chris Williams, Jack West, and Amanda Anderson all going to be speaking there, and it's going to be one amazing time. And we want you to come and join us. And if you do, you're going to hear a lot of different things about how to start a recovery ministry or how to boost your own recovery. Chris, you're going to be talking about sexual addiction.
Yeah, there's a lot of different things about sexual addiction that are misunderstood, and I want to bring some clarity, but I also want to bring some hope and some practical applications to really charge, especially people who struggle with chronic relapsing. How do we get beyond that, and what are different aspects that we can use not only to recover, but also to enjoy a satisfying, sober life?
You know what you call someone who chronically relapses, right?
What's that?
Miserable.
Yes, that is true.
It's horrible.
No, that's true.
And really, if you are continuing to relapse, I'm just encouraging you, there is something better than this day-to-day white-knuckling kind of thing. And that's the kind of stuff that we're able to help you with. But you have to let us help you, and you can do that at the Life Recovery Conference. You can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You can go to newlife.com. It's all right there. So please think about it. It's in October.
Yeah, you can't beat that lineup, Steve. There's going to be a lot of great speakers with a lot of experience and wonderful information for people.
October the 6th. Now, if you want to join us on the program today, we're in the studio for 1 hour, and then we're out of here. We'd love for you to come and join us, 1-800-229-3000. And I want to say hi to all of those listeners that joined me in Ocean City, New Jersey, just a couple of weeks ago. It was so great to be there. Solomon and I went, and we just had the best time ever. And what a great church there, Ocean City Tabernacle. It's a wonderful, wonderful place. And, you know, if you are interested in somebody coming, speaking at your church, I do it. A lot of the folks you hear on radio, we love to come and talk. That's why we're on radio. We love to talk. So give us a call at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You can ask about that. But I want to encourage everybody here, get the app for New Life. I mean, people will say to me, well, I used to listen when you were in our area. Well, hey, we're in your area. If you have the app, it's just automatic. We're right there. All you do is click on the app, and you get the live show. Or if you miss it, you can come along and get the dead show, or the recorded show, not the dead one. Yeah, it is just that simple. So, yeah, come join us for that. All right, 1-800-229-3000. We'll go right to the phones right after this. And you are listening to New Life Live. And if you have been listening, you know that we rarely promote a movie, but on August 24th, Beautifully Broken is coming out, and it's about it's a great Christian message. A Rwanda refugee escaping coming here, and the whole family comes here. It's pretty phenomenal, And there are some, it deals with sexual abuse and all sorts of different things. And at the end of the movie, our 800 number comes up to help people that are struggling in that area. If you want more info on that, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com. We'll be back.
I had a lot of trauma in my childhood that I realize I haven't dealt with, but it's affected our marriage just because I don't open up about it.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Dallas September 21st to the 23rd.
I'm very glad we came, and I know for me personally, I learned a lot about myself.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylon and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
And New Life's group leaders will help you focus on the area that will benefit your marriage most. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
It's definitely given me some major tools to work on myself and our marriage.
Honestly, this is the first time I've ever felt hope that I could actually break the cycle.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad you're with us here today. 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. Glad you're with us here today. And guys, I'm going to let you pick out our first caller. Well, I tell you what, I'll do it. I'll just go ahead and do it. I'll talk to Marie from Anaheim, California, listening on KKLA. Hi, Marie. How you doing?
I've been better. How are you?
I've been better too, but I'm doing okay. but what does that mean when you say that? What's going on?
Well, my daughter just turned 21, she has a boyfriend who's 37, and she moved out 9 months ago. And I see her like once a week, and just like within the last couple of months, I've smelled alcohol on her every single time I see her.
Yeah. Okay.
And so my uncle wants me to come out to Utah because he has a job out there, and I'm having problems getting a job, and so I don't really I don't want to leave my daughter because I know she has a drinking problem, but he's telling me that I need to think about myself and work, and so I'm calling you to find out what you guys would suggest I do, because right now my mom is helping me financially.
Okay.
And she's willing to do that, but you know, my concern is for my daughter, and so if I leave, I'm leaving her here with her 37-year-old boyfriend and a drinking problem.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm going to call on a mother's heart here, along with a PhD, and see what Jill, why don't you start us off here?
Well,
what are your initial thoughts here?
Maria, I really feel for you. It's such a difficult age because, in one sense, they're an adult, right? But we know that they don't always act like an adult, and certainly you can see that your daughter is, you know, turning to someone much older to kind of lean on. And I wonder if her dad is involved at all with her. Like, are you the sole... Okay, go ahead.
Her dad sees her, and he drinks with her as well. So
okay.
She doesn't really have any positive influence except for me.
And does she connect with you? Is she connecting with you?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's how I know what's going on.
Okay. So you do still have a rapport with her. Because it sounds like you have two issues. One is that you are needing to figure out your life and how you're going to maintain things moving forward financially and all of that. And then your daughter is still not grown up yet. And so I really feel for your struggle. I don't know, Chris, do you have input in terms of the decision making here?
Well, Jill, yeah,
really,
I mean, I like you, I hear two distinct issues here, and I would agree that the first issue, Marie, is for you to really create stability in your own life, for you to be able to feel good about where you are, feel safe. But I also feel like it's really important to be able to talk to your daughter in very honest, loving terms mm-hmm. about your concerns.
Yeah.
And so the challenge here is to be direct and loving without being controlling.
Or in one sense, judgmental, right?
Yes.
Because daughters are very, very sensitive to their mother's criticism. And that's why I was asking about your rapport with her, because does she take what you have to say? Will she hear you, or does she push back on that?
And my biggest concern for you, Marie, is that you are going to get stuck in a rescuer, mm-hmm. victim role with you and your daughter. Your daughter will always be the victim. You'll be the rescuer, and you'll never move on with your life. And by doing that, showing your daughter that there's a different way to live.
Yeah. Marie, let me ask you this real quick. I'm not an advocate for drinking. Mm-mm. I don't drink myself, but I want to just clarify something. Now, you say you've smelled alcohol on her breath. Do you know, I mean, there's a difference between a person that drinks, like if you smell alcohol on her breath and it's 9 o'clock at night, that's one thing.
And
it's
she's 21.
Yeah, and it's another thing if it's 9 a.m. in the morning. So are you sure it's a drinking problem or that she's drinking?
Yeah, she tells me that she's drinking, and she comes over in the morning. She smells like it.
Okay, so what I would do is I would have a conversation with her, like these guys are saying, about your drinking. Mm-hmm. And I would say, look, I realize you're 21, and at 21, you know, drinking, legal, I know that. And I know that all people that drink don't have a problem. But it concerns me when I smell alcohol on your breath in the morning. See, that's what I would talk about. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't talk about drinking. I would talk about when you believe she's been drinking in the morning. That's your best hope. Now, the other thing that seems to impact somebody who has a drinking problem is when someone thinks it's a real problem and they start to go to Al-Anon so that they're not going to be codependent on that person or enable that person. Even, you know, make it worse than better. So mm-hmm. that's another option that you have.
Right, and there are Al-Anon groups specifically for parents, too.
Mm-hmm.
But
that
I want to
be helpful.
My thought here is that your ability to influence her at this stage in her life is about zero right now, maybe 10%. And that whatever you're able to do, you probably could do it over the phone mm-hmm. as well as in person. In other words, I'm saying to you, it might be better for you and her if you go take that job, do the thing that makes the most sense for you so that neither you nor her are controlled by alcohol. But I know that would be really hard to move away from her when you're the most concerned about her.
Okay.
Well, and perhaps, you know, letting her know, too, that your move is not that you're moving away from her, and that she would be always welcome to come to
yeah.
you, right? And as things... Okay. As things break down for her, you know, our job as moms is to help contain that, to make sense of it, and to give it back to our kids in a way that they can hear it and make use of it. And so, you know, and helping them to see kind of the conflicts in their own life and getting them to talk more than us talking at them or to them. It's getting them to talk about what they want, what they see, what they're saying is a problem, and then helping them to kind of devise a plan to take, you know, kind of the next step forward.
Yeah. So I don't know that we have the definitive answer, but it seems like she's really going against every value that you have.
Mm-hmm.
And if she is in this state of resisting everything that you would suggest her to do, doesn't really do you much good to stay there, miss an opportunity for you, when it doesn't matter to her what you think or feel right now.
Or okay. her behavior. It may matter to her, but her behavior isn't showing that she's choosing mm-hmm. what you would want for her.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you from the Arterburn Wellness Series this book on understanding and loving a person with an alcohol or a drug problem. Hope that something in there is going to be helpful to you. I believe that it will be. And it's part of the Arterburn Wellness Series. Anybody else, you can get it at newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. But, boy, this is a very, very fine line here because mm-hmm. you don't want to desert your child, but the child's moved out and is living this adult life and not responding to anything that's of value
right.
to you.
Right. Well, and I think you can also ask your daughter how she would feel about you moving. Right. And it doesn't mean just like she's not making decisions based on everything you say, you're not going to do the same thing, but you're going to consider how she feels about it.
Yeah. Very, very good. I think and to talk without judgment, as you guys are mm-hmm. saying, don't judge, mm-hmm. don't shame.
Calm voice, very calm, talk adult like to her.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Dave. Loveland, Colorado. KGFT is the station. Dave, how you doing?
Oh, not too bad. First-time caller, long-time listener.
Okay. What's going on that would cause you, after listening a long time, to call us for the first time?
Well, the advice I've gotten or that I've heard from you, you know, has helped me quite a bit in the past. And the situation that I'm facing right now, I'm hoping that maybe it can help me out a little bit more.
Okay. What's going on?
I'm looking at the possibility of getting a divorce. And okay. We just got married. I'm sorry?
Why would you do that? Why would you get
Hello?
A divorce? Yes. Why would you get a divorce?
Because we just can't seem to get along. And
so you were saying you just got married how long ago? Sorry.
Yeah, how long ago did you get married?
We just got married three years ago.
Okay. Yeah. So now you're hitting all the problems of new marriages.
Right. Well, yeah. She was married before to what was considered to be an undiagnosed narcissist, and I find myself being a victim of the exact same thing that she claims that she's been a victim of, and it's putting such a strain on our relationship that even though we're both in independent counseling and marriage counseling, it seems as though the drama just keeps getting worse and worse, and I don't know what to do.
Okay, I'm going to help you here. So, if she is a narcissist, one of the things that we all know about narcissists is that there is an amazingly tragic, you could say, or mm-hmm. very deep wound that this extreme narcissism is used as a way of just kind of getting through life because the wound is so severe. So it's a survival strategy. It's not, they don't know that they're doing this, but it's that serious in the case of a narcissist. So what happened to her? What's the source of that wound with her?
Well, if you ask me, it's because she suffered a sexual assault at 10 years old.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But yeah. I think that she feels as though she's put that in her past. She actually blames everything on her ex-husband and
yes.
Claims that okay. he is the narcissist.
Right.
But I find
why
myself
do you think,
always
why
on
do you
the
think,
end of
that's
blame.
A re-injury. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why do you think that she is a narcissist? What would lead you to believe that?
Well, in my research, I suppose, you know, my YouTube research, I've seen a lot of characteristics that she exhibits toward me. Gaslighting, blame shifting, stonewalling, all of those are things that I've suffered by her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
she will not accept any responsibility, first of all. And second of all, she does not respond in any kind of emotional level. She mm-hmm. used to in the beginning of our relationship, but it just slowly just disappeared as the facade waned
mm-hmm. okay.
and as I got to know the true self of who
okay.
she is.
All right.
And
so what's the source of major con- Okay, what's a source of major conflict? What's something that comes up that just, you know, it really tears you guys apart?
I cannot confront her about anything. There's a difference between conflict and confrontation, and I realize that. Just like there's a difference between criticism and being critical, mm-hmm. you know? And I try to come to her. I used to react.
Okay, so give me the example. Tell me one thing that you would go to her and say, this is a problem for me. What would that be?
Lack of acceptance of my feelings.
Okay, so when you tell her how you feel, she judges you, or she doesn't care, doesn't listen, or what?
She doesn't care, she doesn't listen, she doesn't acknowledge it, and she won't accept it.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to talk death that my children are going to be affected by this.
Yeah, okay. We're going to talk about this at the break. We'll come back. We'll give you the best we've got. It's a very tough situation you're in, and I hope we can find a direction other than divorce. We'll be back after this. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live. We have something pretty exciting coming up, and it's in March. It is a trip to Israel. Our trips are very special, and the teaching is rich. The experience is priceless. And we're also going to go to Rome in addition to it. It's the 16th through the 26th.
When I went to Israel, my whole view of the Bible absolutely changed. I had a reference point to visualize.
Yeah. We're going
to
go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more.
For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me because I've been there.
You will not be disappointed in Israel. It is a special, rich, rich time. If you want more information on Israel, I hope you'll look at it on our website, newlife.com.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad. Why can't I control my temper?
I feel like he's more like my roommate than my husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Chris Williams, Dr. Jill Hubbard. We're talking with Dave, married 3 years. Wife is not responsive to his emotional needs. He believes she is a narcissist. That is what she says about her ex-husband. Sounds like she's really, really one hurting lady, and mm-hmm. he's hurting too. Chris, some thoughts here as we try to help her.
Dave, you are truly in a tough situation. Mm-hmm. I really do believe that her historical trauma has not yet resolved itself. It may even at times resolve in the mind, but it certainly hasn't resolved in her body.
Right, right. And it's just snowballing, right? It's transferred to first husband, and now it's transferred to you.
Yes, and so males and male intimacy will trigger that in her life. Mm-hmm. But so I just want you to know, as far as her reactivity, her pain, her projections go, you really are powerless against that. So you have to really, really stay focused on yourself. And the first thing I want you to do is I want you to eliminate the word victim from your vocabulary, especially as it applies to yourself. Because what happens is that when our pain isn't transformed, it's transferred, and it it exists in a victim perpetrator cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And so to take yourself out of there is to own everything you can about yourself, but you're going to need to establish really, really strong boundaries. And that's what I want you to work on, is saying that, you know, you can speak to me this way, you can't speak to me that way. I want to connect with you, but I don't want, you know, but the attacks are that you level against me are hurtful, and I'm not going to stand for that.
Mm-hmm. And when you attack me, I can't really hear you, and I do want to hear you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you also have to affirm her in the process. And in some ways, you have to hear her first before you're going to be able to get a word in.
Yes.
And here's the other thing. If you've listened to us, you know we do this marriage intensive, right?
Yes.
You really need to get you and her there in September, because I don't know of anything that has kind of taken more impossible situations and not just saved the marriage, but helped create something really special. And here's the thing. You're hurting, and she is hurting. She may not even know she's hurting. But that is one thing that you guys have in common. And as weird as it is, that common bond of hurt and pain and hopelessness, that can be the thing that actually saves this marriage and creates one that you never dreamed possible. Now, here's what I found to be true.
I think the challenge that I'm really running into, though, unfortunately, is that she doesn't feel as though she has a problem, and therefore she projects everything onto me, that it's my problem, and that I need to be the one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so for the two of you to come together, for you to be pointing out her problem, if she thinks you're the only one that has a problem, well, that really wouldn't do anything but cause her to defend herself even more, right? So it's a strategy that isn't ever going to work. But when you come to a situation like the marriage intensive, then we're working with you as a couple, not either of you as a single problem. But how do we take this couple and do the best we can with it? So it's up to us to help you, not either of you, to just kind of figure it out yourself. So,
I'm definitely willing to give it a try.
Would she be willing to come? That's the big question. Do you think she would?
I doubt it.
Well, Dave, here's a strategy I want to give you. I want you to let her know that you do have a huge problem, that you're struggling with a big problem, and you need her help.
Right.
And you need her to help you through that, and that the Intimacy in Marriage Weekend is where you're going to find clarity for the problem and a pathway for the solution.
Yeah, okay. You're just
right,
not...
Because narcissists, they have a hard time owning anything bad about them. Okay? So they're trying desperately to keep themselves good, and that's part of projecting all the bad, unwanted parts of themselves onto you. So you don't get to them by doing a direct hit and telling them they're bad. So by you owning your part, we're not asking you to own what's not your part, but there's your part, her part, and then there's what gets co-created.
And there'll be a lot of people there that are in your situation who are married to someone who simply cannot see that they have a problem.
They can't tolerate seeing it.
Yeah, they're so hurt, they can't tolerate it. So, you know, we're going to help you, and we're going to help that person without them running out of the workshop, because that isn't going to do any good. But, you know, you're saying that she's a narcissist. I think there's some other things that she might be that, you know, might be a little easier for both of you to deal with, and that narcissist label is a pretty tough one, but there are a lot of things that play into a person's inability to see anything but wrong in the other person. Now, the brand new book in the Art of Wellness series just happens to be Understanding and Loving a Person with Narcissism. Patricia Kuhlman put this together for the series. It is really good. I think it'll be our most popular one because so many people are married to someone. Their wound is so great, they don't or can't or won't address any problem that has to do with them. I'm going to send that to you and anybody else, a gift of any amount, I'll send it to you. Understanding and loving a person with narcissism.
Most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and it is August the 20th. We're live two-thirds of the way through August. Larry Sonnenberg is here to offer hope, help, and healing for those struggling with finances. Larry, what are you thinking?
Oh, gosh. Well, I want to give a shout-out and a thank you to Jean Marie and Bill from Maryland. They're Club New Life members that are here this morning in the studio.
And yay!
I went to them and asked them. I said, you know, it's sometimes it come up a little dry trying to encourage our folks to give, and just they hear the same thing over and over. I said, why did you decide to give? She said, well, there's a few reasons. There's nothing like this program anywhere, and it's just a great ministry and organization. She's been familiar with this since Minerith Meyer days and said it's on a personal basis. It's provided counseling for them and helped them. They in turn help others with what they learn, and they help others. They say this radio programs help others get comfortable with the idea of counseling. People who never thought they'd go mm-hmm. see a counselor
yeah.
because they listened to this program, all of a sudden that's a reality. And it reaches Christians and non-Christians. And it zeroes in on issues that Christians in typical mm-hmm. churches just aren't mm-hmm. going to talk about.
Yeah.
So if that's
really
and it's
powerful.
Actually Christian, right?
Yeah.
It's not of the devil.
So if that's not enough reason for you to give,
stop listening.
I'm kidding.
No, but it is. But I mean, those are well thought through mm-hmm. after a long time of listening, and I'm grateful that they feel that way because we've said it many times. That there are other programs that do things and
they're good stuff.
And this very good stuff, and we just want to continue to do this. We listen to the teaching programs. We believe in those programs, but we want to be here live and in color as long as we possibly can, just helping people deal with the reality of their lives. So please help us, and a gift of any amount, we'll send you this wonderful book on narcissism, Understanding and Loving a Person with Narcissism. And if you join Club New Life, we'll send you the whole library, the whole wellness series, right?
Right. Yeah. And if you have never given before, that's my challenge. Please make a gift. I know you are listening right now, some of you, and you've listened for a long time, and you've always thought to yourself, one day I'm going to give. Well, guess what? Today's the day. Call us
today
at 800-NEW-LIFE.
Today is the day. All right. Please do 1-800-NEW-LIFE, or you can go to newlife.com. All right. Let's go back to our phones, and let's talk with Tom. Tom's calling us from Charlotte, North Carolina. Listens on the podcast. Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. Question, do you ever talk to anybody who does not need any kind of counseling, any kind of therapy, every man's battle, et cetera, is not addicted to porn? And the reason for my asking this is I listen on a pretty much daily basis.
Yeah.
And I hear these women call in and they'll say, my husband has had 2, 3, 4, 5 affairs. We've been married 40, 50 years. And I think to myself, why? We're Christians. We're God's children. No Christian is supposed to have any marital problems unless I'm wrong, and especially not addiction to porn and not, and for sure not physical abuse.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So now let me ask you this. And there are two different issues here. One, marital problems, and then the other, every man's battle. And of course, not every man needs to go to every man's battle, right?
I understand that.
But I have found that there are marriages that don't have little day-to-day problems. And those marriages tend to be the one where somebody has staked out their territory, like in a dictator role, and then the other person has kind of rolled over, played dead, and there's no conflict, no day-to-day problem whatsoever. That, in contrast to people that are really trying to connect heart to heart, still are going to have problems come up. Even the most connected, you just don't see the world completely the same all the time. Or every now and then, one gets distracted, makes a mistake. So to say that you shouldn't ever have problems as a Christian married couple, it makes me kind of question your concept of marriage. And so tell me about that a little bit. How do you think it ought to be?
Okay, so first of all, I'm 43, I'm single, and
it sounds like you're discouraged.
My entire adult life.
Have you ever been married?
No, never.
So it sounds like you might be a bit discouraged, Tom, when you hear all of this.
To be honest, yes, I am. Because I'm not even saying that. There's not going to be some day-to-day problem, but I guess what I say, when I say we're not supposed to have problems, I mean we're not supposed to have problems with addiction to porn and physical abuse adultery or anything.
Right,
like
ideally,
that.
Ideally, no.
Yeah, Tom, let me speak to this, man. I'm also 43. I'm a Christian. This is going to sound weird, but I hope to have problems the rest of my life. And the reason, I'm dead serious.
Yeah.
The reason I hope
consider
to have problems.
Joy.
Yes. The reason I hope to have problems the rest of my life is those very things keep me dependent upon the love and grace of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps me dependent upon God. And my heart breaks for you, man, because you're struggling under this idea that you have to be perfect to be loved, and you don't. there's grace there.
Well, we don't live in the Garden of Eden anymore.
No, we don't.
Right? Pain, it was supposed to be perfect. You're right.
Pain but and we live sin in this, are our entrance yes, fee into yes, planet Earth.
Yes, and marriage is iron sharpening iron. And that means God uses our mates to help draw us closer to Him through the conflicts, through the problems. So,
and see, porn is quite honestly vomit-inducing.
Okay.
I've looked at it once, and it was just vomit-inducing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't understand how men.
Well, Tom, yeah, let me speak to that. The worst sin is the one that I don't struggle with, right?
Right.
Sin is sin. Mm-hmm. Just the details are different. But the effects are still profound. I am so, so, so grateful you don't struggle with pornography.
Right.
Consider it pure grace, my friend. It's awesome. But whatever we struggle with, may there be grace for that. Now, that is our job, our role, is not to focus on what other people struggle with. You know, the only thing I can do anything about is the things that I struggle with. And if I have the humility and the community and the relationships to show me that, in Christ, there's always a solution.
So what is the area of your biggest struggle that you have to deal with? I mean, where are you struggling that you'd want somebody to try to understand a little bit better?
Well, I don't know that it's any one particular, but I just listen, and it just breaks my heart for these women. I mean,
it should.
If I did that to any woman and she didn't have anywhere to go, then she should, I don't know, maybe gouge my eyes out, bash my head in, break both my arms or legs or something like that. But don't just put up with it two and three times.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this. Do you feel like God called you to be single, that this is a gift that he's given you? Or is there something else there that's causing you to live that single life? Because when a person is called to be single, that's a pretty honorable calling.
That, I don't know the answer to that. And I may never know, and that's okay.
Amen.
But I would like to meet a nice Christian woman to enjoy some part of life with.
Okay. So here's a challenge for you.
I just haven't found her yet.
Okay. So here's a challenge for you. If you were ever to go see a counselor or talk to a counselor, you might say, help me learn to connect with every kind of person, no matter what they're going through, and develop compassion for people that are really, really struggling with stuff that, man, I don't even think anybody ought to struggle with it if they were truly a believer. And that can help you grow, and it might even lead you to some discoveries of things that you wouldn't be single if that's not your calling. We'll be back.
My wife asked me for the first time in 2011 if I would consider myself a sex addict, so I signed up. You know, I'd read the Every Man's Battle book, and it was a great book, but the workshop, it was the experience that really was key for me. If they go to EMB, they're going to be in good hands. You know, this is a safe place. They're going to be surrounded by men that simply walk the talk. The weekend leaders that they will go through this workshop with, they'll help them to get to the root of their issues. You know, I've been through a number of well-preached sermons, listened to and read countless books, been to a number of seminars, but EMB for me was a game changer. It truly saved my life. Being in this community, being in this workshop, being around these men will change them if they'll let them. You're going to encounter men that will meet you where you're at, and you will instantly walk into a safe place where they're welcome.
If you're struggling, call us. We don't want you to go on struggling. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live. This is Terry McIntosh, and I want to remind you that we have an app for your smartphone or tablet. It allows you to live stream New Life Live, catch up on archived programs. We have articles on there, and there are short audio and video teachings as well. Just go to newlife.com, look for the download the app link. It's at the bottom of the homepage. And if you want the most up-to-date information on New Life, you can follow New Life Ministries with Steve Arterburn on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You'll get special offers, connection, and also encouragement. Steve, back to you.
All right, thank you there, Terry, and let's go right to our phones. Final caller here. Wish I could have gotten to everybody, but I can't, and you can always call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. People are right there. They want to help you. Let's go to Beth, Atlanta, Georgia. She listens on Sirius XM, channel 131, 1 p.m. Eastern time. Hi, how you doing?
Hi, Steve. I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
Great. What's going on?
Well, my 32-year-old stepdaughter has made some poor financial decisions and has found herself in quite a bit of debt. She has asked to move in with us so that she can take the next 12 months to put a significant dent in her debt. She's asked to move into our master bedroom area to give herself mm-hmm. some more privacy.
I see.
Mm-hmm. That's displacing us into another part of the house.
Right.
We'd be giving up a bedroom, bathroom, and a closet. Am I being selfish? I don't think so. And how do I talk with my husband and have influence when he thinks this is actually a good idea?
You know what? You have called the right place because my daughter did the exact same thing. We moved into a new house, and she wanted to live in the master suite and wanted my wife and I to live in one of the other bedrooms. She was 12.
Wow.
When she did that. See, she wasn't 32.
And
a 32
when did she do that?
A 32-year-old doing that is acting like a 12-year-old that doesn't fully understand life. But my bigger concern right. is that your husband mm-hmm. would think that that would be okay. So how did he break it to you that he thinks this is going to be a good move for the two of you?
He said she's asked for help and we should help her. And I countered with she didn't ask for help. She asked for a free place to stay. Mm-hmm. If she asked for help, she would be accepting the help I've offered, which is to connect her to a financial mentor. A person who can help her with her finances and get them in order and a spending plan. She has not accepted that offer. For years, I've been making that offer.
Yeah. Okay.
And she's not asking for even, hey, help me find a second job.
Yeah.
Her sister works three jobs.
Well, she's not the issue right now. Mm-hmm. Your husband is the issue.
She's not what?
She's not the issue. Your husband is the issue.
Right.
And here's what I would suggest,
right.
and let's see what Jill, and they may have a nicer option for you. I would say to him, it looks like we have two choices right now. One is for you to say to her, no, you're not moving in the master suite, or you and I show up at a marriage counselor's office tomorrow morning as soon as I can get an appointment. because I would never agree
with
that.
I asked him to go to marriage counseling, and he said, we've done that, and you're not using the tools you've been given.
No, but you're not getting marriage counseling. You have a conflict that if I were you,
right.
I would not. It is unhealthy for you to move out of that suite and for her to take that on. And so I would, rather than say no, I would ask him if he agrees with you that that is a little excessive and unhelpful. And if not, we need a third party to help us resolve the conflict here.
I have asked for that. So okay, I agree with you on both of those.
Yeah.
I'm
so
trying to help him have influence in him.
Yeah. So your husband, it sounds like to me, has pretty much said to you, I'm not willing to work on our marriage, right?
That's what it sounds like to me.
Well, and where is...
We've been to three counselors in our marriage in our 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay.
It seems like there's guilt, guilt and kind of blind spots when it comes to his daughters. And the fact, I mean, that really seems like a power move on the side of the daughter, kind of getting you out of the way, you know, in one sense. So I don't know how she feels about, you know, the marriage and her position with her dad. But there are definitely some issues there. I hear, you know, him saying, well, we should help her. Well, if you did decide to help her, I think more of a compromise, you know, so that both people kind of get heard and part of what they want, you know. At the most, I would say, you know, I love your idea of the financial counseling. And I would make that contingent on her moving in to a guest bedroom, if you decided that was an okay thing to do. But the financial counseling would have to go along with that. Not this, you have no accountability. You're going to continue when you've already proven that you can't manage it. And now you're going to take over our master suite. You would be getting her out in 12 months.
And that's the thing. You would say to him, no, she should not do this because a bunch of really smart people think it would be bad for her, bad for us. Secondly, we need to draw up an understanding between her and us as to when she leaves and the conditions upon which she stays. If she's going to ask for the master suite, surely she's going to want breakfast in bed. So you just have to clarify all the different things here. But you have a problem, and she is a symptom of the problem. And the moving in of him.
Right.
But oh my goodness, I cannot imagine a man saying to his wife, our 32-year-old daughter is going to live with us, and we're going to give her the master suite. Oh my goodness, you really need to get both of you in front of somebody somehow, do whatever it takes. If he isn't able to see, this is going to be very bad for her and very bad for us.
Well, and Beth, I think that's the emphasis, that you don't think it's ultimately going to help her, because you don't want to create a power struggle between you and the daughter with your husband.
Right now.
Well, and I think the most important thing, as you alluded to, Steve, is that this is a problem that is in the marriage.
Yes, it is.
And so that is what has to be addressed. And Beth, again, you
and
can't suffer because
issues.
She can't get her life together, right?
Right. Yeah. And I'm really glad you called, and I hope that something we've said here is helpful. I wish we had more time. I'm going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. I hope that'll be helpful to you. All right. I'm just out of time. I want to be sure that everybody knows that we have a workshop coming up for this couple, for previous couples. It's the Marriage Intimacy Intensive, September 21st. Every Man's Battle is September the 7th. Not every man needs to go, as we pointed out. Almost every man needs to go. And you can go.
Lots could benefit.
Yes. And also, this weekend is the opening weekend for this great movie, Beautifully Broken. It tells an amazing story I think you'll want to see it, and you can find out information about that, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And as I say, our 800 number is at the end of that film. Pretty exciting for us. Hey, just call us if you need some help. That's what we're there for. The call center's in Dallas, Texas. These folks are our people. They want to help you. We didn't farm it out. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Call us.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.